The Dow and S&P 500 fell for a second day in a row. What? It's the Business News Hour for Wednesday, the 27th day of February. Thanks for being with us again today. In other business news, a branding mess can cost real dollars. What are we talking about? WW what? This week, JCPenney will pull the plug on yet another idea that was going to save the company. Meanwhile, demolition of the once mighty Kaleidoscope in downtown Des Moines is set to take place soon. We'll check the numbers from Wall Street and then talk to beekeepers and honey manufacturers who were today at the Iowa State House talking bees, honey, and economics. Later, we caught up with the Des Moines Public Schools Community Legislative Action Team and talked language and filling jobs. Lots of stuff coming. Stay with us. The Business News is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You can reach out to me on Twitter, at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. For the broadcast, we can be found on Twitter, at IOB underscore News Hour. Simple, no? Well, 2 days in a row, and for 2 days, the Dow and S&P fell. What's going on? It's all China. For several days, we have been seeing tweets from President Trump letting us know that great progress is being made regarding trade issues with China. But then came today. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer hinted that a trade deal was not yet certain, saying that any agreement would need to be more than just purchases by China. The deal would need to be specific and include a matter of enforcement. Lighthizer also noted that it would be a, quote, long process, end quote, to implement any deal agreed upon in March. That was something investors didn't want to hear, and the markets fell in the news. We'll have all the details coming up in the Wall Street Report. So what happens when you spend millions of dollars on a rebranding effort only to see confusion on the part of consumers? Well, first of all, you lose money. Big time. And that's the story behind the Weight Watchers mess. Weight Watchers is scrambling to clarify its new name, WW, and their mission after a poorly executed rebranding campaign left consumers confused and membership numbers tanking. The 55-year-old company started using the shorter name last year in an attempt to embrace wellness. It was kind of buzzy and kind of a vague term that was intended, though, to promote a healthier lifestyle that would attract and retain customers long after they achieved their target weight. But the message fell flat with consumers. WW, nobody knew what the hell it meant. Weight Watchers is now forecasting a 10% drop in membership during the first quarter. That's a critical diet season after the holidays that can make or break a diet company's entire year. Shares of WW, or Weight Watchers, plunged by roughly 35% today, erasing more than $48 million from Oprah Winfrey's stake in the weight loss company. Just because it sounds like a good idea doesn't mean it is. Okay. How about another idea that maybe didn't work? On Friday, JCPenney will end a clothing subscription service venture. Back in December of 2017, the department store chain announced a new service through a partnership with Bombfell.com that offered Penney private label and national men's clothing brands to people who signed up for regular apparel shipments. Bombfell sent customers 5 clothing items handpicked by a stylist for them to try on in the comfort of their own home. Penney shoppers then have 7 days to decide which items they wanted to buy and which they wanted to send back. Customers who signed up for the men's subscription service paid a $20 styling fee with each order that included a dedicated personal stylist, free shipping and returns, and which was applied toward the cost of any clothing that they kept. Penney, with $2.6 billion in total net sales last quarter, relied on Bombfell to handle logistics of the arrangement. It was all supposed to be a winner for JCPenney. Sounded like a great deal, right? And when successful, subscription and timed shipments can provide retailers with guaranteed revenue and valuable customer data. But analysts said the downside includes high marketing costs and high cancellation rates as customers get frustrated with the return process. And that seems to be the case here. The Des Moines Register is reporting that a permit application filed with the city says the once mighty Kaleidoscope shopping and eating area on the downtown skywalk will soon see the wrecking ball. The now vacant building will come down to make way for Blackbird Investments' 33-story apartment tower. The piece-by-piece demolition is proposed to take 3 months. City officials asked Blackbird to wait until after the NCAA tournament to close the skywalk and streets surrounding the Kaleidoscope for demolition. Des Moines is hosting the first and second rounds of the men's basketball tournament on March 21st and on the 23rd. You know, there's so much going on with the markets, it's sometimes just hard to keep up. The Dow and S&P 500 fell for a second day in a row as traders grappled with key testimonies on U.S.-China trade relations, Federal Reserve monetary policy, and a host of geopolitical issues. The 30-stock Dow lost 72 points as United Health underperformed. The Dow ended the day at 25,985. The S&P 500 slipped less than 0.1% to close at 2792. The index was led lower by the communication services and healthcare sectors. The NASDAQ did eke out a small gain, closing up nearly 0.1% to end the day at $75.54. Gold was off today, a whopping $6.80 to end the trade at $1,321.70 an ounce. Oil, meanwhile, gained a whopping $1.48 to close at $56.98 a barrel. Expect even higher gas prices, kids. And the 10-year T-note is paying 2.68%. This week, members of the Iowa Honey Producers Association descended on the Iowa State House to talk about honey production, bees, and economics. We happened upon their educational display and remembering a recent news story we had last week about bee kills on the West Coast and the worries about pollinating crops there, I took a few moments to chat with Andrew Joseph, the state apiarist, Carrie Knauer, a hobbyist, and Phil Ebert, a professional honey producer. I started out with Andrew Joseph and asked him about bee kills here and what that means to the economics of production.
Well, it's winter here in Iowa, so we'll really know things as the weather warms up. Right now I'm getting reports from some beekeepers their bees are doing quite well. Despite these extreme cold events and all this, the bees are coming through okay. But I'm also getting a lot of reports of the other. I think a lot of bees are dying, clusters dwindling. You know, there really is some meat to that NPR report that you just mentioned. It's going to be a decent loss year, I'm afraid.
And this has further implications outside of honey production and beekeeping. It has to do with pollination of crops, yes?
Yes. A lot of our bees from here in Iowa are actually spending the winter out in the almonds right now. The almond orchards are in bloom in California, and our bees are there as pollinators. And that's where a lot of these reports are coming back of bees that were in great shape in the fall, now that they're out there, where the weather's better than what it is here in Iowa, undeniably, and they're just shrinking and collapsing out there. A lot of those reports are coming in at about 60% loss out there, which is pretty extreme. That's unusual.
We're going to turn our attention to the vice president of the association. Carrie, here on the ground, you're a beekeeper. You're a honey producer. And so tell me, what are things like economically with regard to your business? Are you seeing an increase in business? Is this mysterious issue of honeybees dying over the past couple of years, is that impacted your business?
A little bit, yes. For the most part, we're more of a hobby beekeeper, so we work out of our backyard. But lately, we've increased our business a little bit.
Well, one of the things, hobby beekeepers are almost like hobby winemakers or beer makers. There's still an economic reality to all that. Wouldn't that be right, Eric?
Correct. It is.
You're a commercial bee and honey producer out of Linville, out of Jasper County. Phil Ebert, what's the impact with regard to the issues that we're seeing with honeybees dying and the impact on your business?
Oh, it's huge. We're making money packing honey. Sometimes I think we're keeping bees for fun. And these parasites that get on the bees are a huge issue. And the bees cannot stand the load of those that they used to, because the viruses in these colonies have become tremendously efficient at being transmitted through these parasites. And as far as what my winter loss is here, I have no idea. We got a load in California that's held up really good. But cold weather does not kill bees. But with all the other stress that's on them, sometimes it's just the last nail in the coffin.
Over the years, we've heard lots of comments about pesticides, about herbicides, about parasites, all combining to cause significant damage to the bee population, some in the millions of dollars. Is that real here in Iowa?
You bet. We're dealing with what I think of as a four horsemen of the apocalypse for bees. We got varroa mites, we got viruses, we got poor forage, because herbicides kill everything, and the DOT mows everything out of the doggone median, and then you throw insecticides into the mix, and it's like four strikes and you're out.
You're here at the state capitol, Kerry. What are you hoping to accomplish for the Honey Producers Association of Iowa?
We're just trying to create more education, educating people about honeybees in general and what they can do on their level, things that they can do to prevent the destruction of the honeybee.
And for a commercial producer, what are your hopes looking towards the future? Can the legislature actually do anything about the bee kills and the loss of production?
Well, I don't know about bee kill. They'd have to put some teeth into the bee law. But what we can try to accomplish here is they're farming ground out there that shouldn't be farmed. Commodity prices are way down. Let's encourage pollinator strips. There are programs available through the FSA, Xerxes societies, that are cost-sharing programs. And the other thing that's relatively minor we could do, if they could just hold down the doggone mowing on the DOT. And I know mowing's important for controlling noxious weeds, but we used to have some bees down along 163 by Pella. As soon as that trefoil came into full bloom, they'd mow it. And we're looking at stuff that's a foot tall. You know, if they want to take a swath down the shoulder, that's fine. Give me a break. You know, because cutting that stuff, I mean, it'll come back and bloom again, but it's not as good. And it's harmful to all pollinators to have that cut at full bloom. So those are a couple of little things that could make a big difference.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Ed, thanks for speaking with us.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Our thanks to the members of the Iowa Honey Producers Association for spending some time talking about bees, honey, economics, and pollination. Didn't know, did you? We'll have a link to them up on our radio blog. Stay with us. More to come here on the Business News Hour.